And the show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the show, we have with us a practitioner and maker of the Illan pipes, this Irish small pipes. His name's Tim Britton, and a guitarist and bouzouki player and singer, Brian Miller. Both of them are going to play some flute as well. We've got them live in our studio, just waiting for us to get in there. And then a little bit later, we'll talk with singer Dina Vermette about her program called Lady Sings Sinatra that's going to be at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carle Clinic in Urbana on Thursday, part of their weekly free noontime concert. That's coming up later on in the show. It's Live and Local. Stay with us. That was Piper Paddy Keenan from his disc called Nakeen Affair, Jenny's Wedding, and Craig's Pipes, a couple of reels here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I played another Piper to introduce Piper Tim Britton and guitarist and bouzouki player Brian Miller, who are going to be playing on the Piper's Hut concert series tonight at 8 o'clock at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. Partly because I'm a little curious about some of the differences in playing styles of Illan pipes, but also because it's the only Illan pipe recording I think that I have here at the radio station. And we do have Tim and Brian to play live with us in the studio here. Thanks very much for coming in.
Hey, thank you.
Our pleasure.
And especially in the weather that's brewing and storming and everything else right now.
Yeah, it's making everything look extremely green, awfully Ireland-like.
Well, that much is true. I'm sure we'll end up with a drought at some point. Tim, tell us about the Illan pipes. Yours actually look a little bit different than Paddy's.
I suppose mine. First of all, the Illan pipes in general are one of many different kinds of bagpipes from all over the world. A lot of people don't realize that bagpipes are not particularly Celtic, even. They're just any more than a flute is Celtic.
I think I read on your website they may have originated in India.
Yeah, that's probably true, or Middle East somewhere, you know, along with a lot of other things. But this particular form evolved around 300 years ago, and it's got a bellows. It's one of the more distinctive things visually that... There's a number of reasons why I have to play these sitting down, so you won't see me marching with these, and I won't be wearing a kilt when I play them either. In any case, there's a bellows, very much like a fireplace bellows, strapped under my right arm to my right elbow and then also around my waist so that I can crank it up with the bellows instead of blowing into it. And the air goes across a piece of tubing that goes into the bag, which is made of leather, under my left arm. And there's a bundle of pipes that are kind of together in a group that go from the bag on my left to across my right thigh and off towards the floor. And they are drones. There's three drones in there that together sound an awful lot like that. And they're all playing octaves of the same note. And then there's a couple of other pipes that have closed ends and closed levers on them. And they all, each of these pipes has their own reed. And when you hit the levers with your wrist, the levers end up right under my right wrist. So when I hit them with my wrist, they give you car horns.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So you can play chords much like the left hand on an accordion, if you're familiar with the bass buttons on an accordion. Meanwhile, the main part of it is actually what I haven't mentioned yet, and that's the melody pipe or the chanter, which comes down the front here and is played by my both hands, of course. And That is unusual in two ways, that you close the end of it on a leather pad, which is on my thigh, on my right thigh as well. And that way, if I close the end and close my fingers down, I don't get any sound. And the whole idea of a bag on a bagpipe is to enable you to get a constant sound. So in this case, in that case, I should say, in traditional bagpipes, they typically resort to a lot of what they call grace notes to give you a sense of dynamics and articulation between the notes. And on this, you have that part of the tradition as well, but you can stop the sound between the notes as well, the way you normally do with your tongue or your breath if you were playing a normal wind instrument. So I can do that, which normally in a bagpipe it's... I can't stop it at all.
The air just keeps going.
Yeah, it just keeps going along with the drone. So when you put it all together... stuff like that.
And furthermore, these are these are pipes of your own making.
Right. Yeah. I've been making them since I was a kid, actually. When I started out, there was very, very few makers. And so being somewhat of a do-it-yourselfer and also having a lot of difficulty getting a complete set, I thought, hell, I'll just make some drones myself, you know. And I got together with a guy who was making fifes and other primitive bagpipes, who has since become one of the leading makers of Irish flutes and whistles, a guy named Michael Copeland out in Philadelphia. And as a teenager, I sort of got together with him, and we together made this very set, actually. The drone's on here. This little drone is the first thing I ever made in Michael's shop back in 1975, I think. Yeah.
And is this... has remained your preferred set of pipes, or is it sentimental? Or
it's neither. It's
that's working today.
Exactly, it's the one that's ever the only one I've ever kind of kept, and you know, the old shoemaker's children go without shoes kind of syndrome. Too busy making other people's instruments to make one for myself, but I like it. It works. I keep it working nicely.
So you just haven't made yourself another set yet.
Exactly. Channer is actually newer, and that I had an accident with my original Channer, which was the second one I ever made, about 7 years ago, and it fell from a second-story hotel balcony onto a pavement, narrowly missing the windshield of a car and smashing into bits after 24 years of playing it. So that was...
Should I ask why it was on the
well,
second...
I was on the second floor, and I was actually sticking out of the back of a mail tube, which was open-ended under my arm, and I leaned against the railing just angled enough that it slid out.
And that was that.
And I had this funny feeling, and I turned around just in time to see it hit the pavement.
And then you didn't have... the feeling wasn't very funny anymore.
No, exactly. It was kind of odd. It was kind of dreamlike, actually. And I went down and I picked up the pieces, and they were just completely shattered. So I just put it in the trash can nearby and kept moving. It was a little strange.
Had to make another one. I hope you weren't on the way to a gig.
I was, but I had another Channer that I was working on for somebody else at the time, and which is why mine was in this mail tube. I was just kind of storing it while I had this other one in my case. And I went home, and I was in the process of redesigning my Channer, so it was kind of fortuitous, the timing of it. And I had done some experimentations on my own, and they weren't working out totally, and so I was kind of playing this other one anyway for the gig. And so I went home and made myself this one. And
here we are.
Here we are.
Well, as long as we're here, why don't we play something?
You sure?
Sure, we got the mic set up,
the
instrument, you know.
Okay.
You drove here.
One of the idiosyncrasies of the pipes is they're forever changing their tuning, especially with humidity differences, so I may need to kind of readjust things somewhere along the line, so I'm going to double check myself right now. Here goes another adjustment. Each one of these pipes, as I was saying, has its own reed, and they all kind of shift around. so I have to kind of...
Looks a lot like an oboe reed.
It is, actually, a lot like an oboe reed. Not exactly, but similar. That's better.
Yeah.
So, you want to start with... we'll start with one called The March of the King of Leash, which is a very, very old tune. And we go into a few reels after that, one called The Gooseberry Bush and The Clune, and then another one that we don't have a name for. But we're going to play it anyway.
Thank you. Tim Britton on the Yellen Pipes, Brian Miller on the guitar, on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, live in our studio. They're playing a concert tonight at 8 o'clock at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana, part of the Piper's Hut concert series. You can find out the other concerts that are coming up in July and beyond at pipers-hut.com, courtesy of Dean Karras, who is lurking in our studio and observing what's going on here. Dean, a nice piper and, whistler and a singer himself and a player of the Bowron. Tim Britton has an interesting website. It's got all kinds of facts, FAQs, frequently asked questions, and well-answered questions here, including how hard to play are the Yellen Pipes? What's the short answer to that one?
Hard.
What's complex? whose pipes are you modeled after? You can find out about some of the making of his particular pipes. The reeds, interesting that we played, I played Paddy Keenan leading into this, and you specifically comment on Paddy Keenan's reeds versus your own, which I guess are quite different from each other.
Yeah, Paddy is, of course, a great player. He's also a great reed maker. And his particular reeds, mine are very small and minimal and very exacting. And his are huge and much larger tolerances because he learned to make reeds, or primarily practice making reeds, like sitting in a bar with a piece of sandpaper and a beer bottle and a knife, and that's about it. So his reeds are great. They work just as well, but they're just the absolute polar opposite. So it's just kind of a good graphic example of how all roads lead to Rome, no matter what the roads are like.
Well, in that case, he's actually from Ireland, and so maybe, you know, the beer bottle in hand is the stereotype, right? You'd never have a beer bottle in your hand, would you, Tim?
Oh, never.
Or Brian?
Yeah. Oh, never.
Absolutely.
No beer in Iowa or Minnesota.
Yeah, I saw. I'm not sure I've ever seen the name of Bemidji written out. I've only ever heard it. Bemidji, Minnesota. And Brian, you're actually from there.
Yes.
How did you end up getting into the Irish music, guitaring and bouzouki-ing?
Right. That's a FAQ for me.
Do you have FAQs on your website?
No, I need to get some. I'll ask Tim about that. No, I grew up in Bemidji, and when I was a young teenager, I got into folk music, but it was more like singer-songwriter stuff. But that brought me up to the Winnipeg Folk Festival. I started going up there when I was 13 or 14, and they had Irish bands there, like Dervish or John Whalen or the House Band or Cherish the Ladies. They had a lot of Irish bands in the mid-90s. Anyway, I don't know if they book as much of that kind of stuff anymore, but they had a lot of it, and I got really interested, and I went home to Bemidji, and there aren't a lot of Irish people in Bemidji right now.
Aren't they all German Lutherans?
Yeah.
Or Norwegian Lutherans,
Norwegians,
according to
Swedes.
Garrison Keillor.
Yes,
yeah,
and it's pretty fairly accurate. So
that's just down the road from Lake Wobegon, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think that's somewhere up there in the land of 10,000 lakes. But I got my first Irish music lessons or information from the internet in the mid-90s. They're looking stuff up online, and there wasn't as much then. Now there's loads. If you go online looking to figure out how to play Irish music, you'd have a lot better chance now than you did in 1994.
Actually, you don't even have to learn it. You can just download it directly.
Exactly.
Plug it into your instrument.
But I started, you know, ordering CDs and reading about it online and stuff, and then I went to college in the Twin Cities in 1998 and fell in with the Irish musicians there, and there are some great Irish musicians in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and they helped a lot. And then I spent a lot of time in Ireland going back and forth to Cork, which
is kind of you call that your second home.
Yeah, I did a semester abroad there in 2000 when I was in college, and then I fell in love with Cork City and went back every year at least for a few weeks to a month, and sometimes for 4 months. So I've spent a lot of time there and learned a lot. For me, it's been really important to get over to Ireland and to hear people playing over there and
sure.
travel around a bit when I'm in Ireland as well. But Cork especially has helped.
Well, let's hear another tune and how whatever influence you all may have picked up from where all the places you've been. Do want to keep watching my time here. We have Dina Vermette coming up about 12:40 or so to share some, I don't know, she's got some Sinatra that she's going to sing for us, but she's doing a program called Ladies Sing Sinatra later on in the week in Urbana. And you guys playing tonight at the Heartland Gallery in Urbana, 8 o'clock. And discussing what's the next tune.
Yeah, we're discussing what's the next tune indeed. Well, let's see. Speaking of the Irish-American kind of juxtaposition, there's a great fiddle player in Chicago. And of course, Chicago is probably the largest Irish community outside of Ireland. And there's a great fiddle player from there named Liz Carroll, you may have heard of. And she not only is a great player, but she's a very prolific composer of tunes. And we thought we'd do one of her, a couple of her tunes here. And I never got the names straight on this. I have a bad habit of learning tunes without learning their names, so please forgive me.
Well, by the time you said the name, I'd forget it anyway.
You'd have to
remember it again, the back announcer. So you're on the whistle and Brian on the guitar. Thank you. couple of tunes by Liz Carroll, the name of which we're not certain. Tim Britton on the whistle and Brian Miller on guitar here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Support for our show comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Tim and Brian are going to be playing tonight at 8 o'clock, a concert on the Piper's Hut concert series at Heartland Gallery on West Main Street, downtown Urbana. Concert starts at 8. Doors should open at about 7:15, they say. Tim, just kind of curious on Dean Karras's description here on the Piper's Hut website describes a bunch of the people you've played with. For that matter, we could rattle off a bunch of the people that Brian has played with, too. Mm-hmm. Either of you have any favorite collaborative experiences? Aside from the one you're in right now. Headed that one off.
Jeez. That's a hard one. Irish music may all sound alike to the average person, but it's... there's a lot of regional styles for one thing, and there's a lot of very personal styles. And for me, it's kind of an infinite well of depth and subtlety to aspire to. And every time I sit down with another musician, I like to kind of come to them stylistically and enjoy what they have to share. And so every time I sit down, it's just a different experience, different chemistry, and a different gift. And I really particularly enjoy that kind of dynamic of finding out what someone else has to offer and mm-hmm. their touch and their feel, you know.
Yeah, and it's for an accompanist, it's even more so. I really feel like it's my obligation as a backer to try to meld to the kind of the groove and the stylistic characteristics of whoever it is that I'm playing with. And I've had amazing opportunities to play with some of the best. I played with Patty Keenan for a couple gigs one weekend, and Frankie Gavin, who's a really well-known fiddle player. But I've also played with people that nobody would have heard of over here in Ireland, who are fantastic musicians. Had a lot of really fond memories of performances and sessions too. I mean, for Irish musicians, it's not your kind of ultimate rush moments aren't always on stage. Sometimes they're in a quiet corner of a kitchen, or sometimes they're at a noisy pub, you know.
So. Well, speaking of, there's a session every Wednesday here in Champaign at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. You guys aren't going to be sticking around long enough to sit in on the session,
no.
Right?
We're heading off to Bloomington, Indiana tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
And Cincinnati after that. And we're heading out to Philly, basically.
And just playing on the way.
Back. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much a straight shot from here to Philly.
Yep. One nice shot I've made a lot. Living in Iowa and being from Philadelphia, I've gone that route many, 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 many times.
I bet so. Lots of connections. Yeah. Well, let's move on to something else. Do we get to hear the bouzouki? You've got it here.
Yeah, maybe we should do the bouzouki.
Yeah, what do you want
to
do?
Let's do that.
I've never seen one played, actually, right in front of my nose.
We've got time
ones?
For... When do we want to... You done here?
No, 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Okay, so one more tune. In other words, more.
Let's do that.
One more set.
What do you want to do,
Leslie Harris?
Harris
just because they're a little bit not quite as.
Yeah. All right.
Long.
Well, this is another modern compositions, more or less. A woman named Leslie Harris, who was a barmaid at a pub where a group called the Irish Tradition used to play back in the 70s and 80s. Forever and ever, she was just the constant companion. With beers in hand, but she eventually decided to take up the box, the accordion herself, and took lessons from Billy McComiskey, who's one of the very best, who was in that group that was there playing in the Irish tradition. And she composed these tunes, among others, and they've become quite loved, well-loved all over the world, I suppose, at this point. So the first one's called... The Torrid Romance, the second one's called The Boys of Chicago, and the last one's called P.J. McComiskey's, named after one of Billy's sons. A couple of, a few reels.
That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Tim Britton on the Illan pipes, Brian Miller on the bouzouki, which is a name I just love to say. And it's the first I've seen one up close and heard one played up close, so that's great. They're going to be playing tonight at the Heartland Gallery downtown Urbana on Main Street at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7:15 as part of the Piper's Hut Concert Series. You can get more information at piper's-hut.com. A little dyslexia going on there. Thank you, gentlemen, both very much.
Thank
You're
you.
Very welcome. Thank
Great
you.
It's fun.
Pleasure to hear you. And we've got Dina Vermette coming up in just a moment. Support for today's broadcast comes from Rodney G. Peacock, presenting Noontide Festival Month, June 18th through July 11th at Fullinger Auditorium with music, poetry, and drama, highlighted by a concert by Rodney George Peacock and with his original drama, the Noontide Trilogy, July 2nd through the 11th. Information is under events at fullinger.illinois.edu. Quick look at a couple of other performances going on tonight downtown Urbana, as well as Tim and Brian. You can hear a storytelling concert across the street, actually. In fact, you could do both. That one starts at 6, so you could go to that and then hear Tim and Brian. Kathy Brinkman and Dan Ketting are at La Gourmandise on Main Street. The Music for All Symposium features the Jazz Ambassadors of the U.S. Army Field Band at Braden Auditorium in Normal tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the campus of Illinois State University. And the Decatur Young Park Singers are at South Shores Park in Decatur tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Woody Woodward Organ Trio is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 5, followed by the music of Art Blakey at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then on Thursday at noon, Lady Sings Sinatra with Dina Vermette and Woody Woodward. Dina will be here in a matter of moments. It's live and local on FM 90.9. And we heard some Irish traditional music from a group whose name I just forgot. And Mike Pritchard would tell me right now. They were in our studio a little while ago. Celtic Crossroads, he just told me through the microphone. Celtic Crossroads were on our show earlier this year or the end of last. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thanks for joining us. And we've left a little bit of time, not as much as I'd hoped, for Dina Vermette, who is a woman who's been singing in our community for... How long?
Oh, wow. Since 69, probably.
Wow.
Started with the Medicare 7, 8, or 9 Dixieland Band through the university, and been freelancing ever since. Yeah, love it.
Yeah. Tell us about some of your various projects that you've done over the years.
Well, the latest ones, most of it was with the Medicare for all those years, and we travel cross-country, and we would visit constituent groups for the Alumni Association, and we would be the talent or the good ambassadors, I guess you'd say, for the university, providing talent wherever we went. And that was so successful. Love that. Open for George Burns at the Assembly Hall one year.
Really?
And then more recently, I'm doing concerts about every other year in the studio, cabaret style, at Krannert Center. And a while back, I did Lady Sing Sinatra, which I'll be doing this Thursday at the Linda Mills Breast Cancer Center. And hope we have people come out for that. And then this last year, I did Lady Sings the Ladies, which covered about 12 legendary female singers in the studio. So, but a cabaret is my favorite type of entertaining by far.
Yeah, well, I gather. And it's a great way to get really, for the audience to get intimate with you and you the other way around.
Right,
you know,
right.
In the settings. Now, it's interesting, cabaret setting usually suggests, at least in my mind, you know, kind of a smoky bar sort of thing. But Krannert doesn't quite constitute that, and neither does the Breast Cancer Institute.
You're so right. It was a little easier at Krannert because they really provided a perfect setting in the studio. First of all, it's small.
The studio theater.
Yes,
yeah.
And intimate. And actually, my shows, I think, present themselves best in that environment rather than the bigger hall. But they had a little bar back in the corner for people that wanted to have a beverage. And it was little round tables. It was a perfect setting. Really
so
was.
You can make your cabaret setting.
Yeah. So as you say, the Breast Center is going to be a little trickier.
Yeah. In fact, not a good place to smoke.
Not allowed. They can go for their blood pressure test, but that's it.
Yeah, and that's going to be at noon on Thursday. You're singing with pianist Woody Woodward.
Uh-huh. He's a wonderful, wonderful friend. I met Woody through the Medicare 7, 8, or 9 many years ago, probably 1970, and we've been performing together ever since. He's a wonderful pianist, jazz, and he's at the Iron Post quite a bit. Plays great organ, jazz organ.
Yeah, he's going to be there with his trio tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Cool. And then he's with the Prairie Dogs, which you're probably
is he playing with the Prairie
Dogs? Yeah, yeah. Morgan Powell, Ray Sasaki, of course, was here not long ago with that group. So he's active. Yeah, plays a lot.
Well, and unfortunately, we weren't able to get Woody in the studio today, which was too bad. Well, I'm going to keep working on him.
Good.
Get him in here with one group or person or another. And that means you're on your own to sing us a song or two.
Yes. Ooh, a cappella.
How exciting. How often did Frank Sinatra sing unaccompanied?
I wonder. I know Barbra Streisand would never try it.
Really?
She wouldn't be as silly as I am. But, well, it's the pitch. It's hard to know where you are, but if you don't mind,
although
we'll
unaccompanied singing can be just splendid. So, sure.
We'll try it. Yeah. Sure. So, I hope to see a nice crowd Thursday. It's a wonderful cause at Linda Mills' Breast Cancer Center. And it's noon. You can bring your own lunch type thing. So, that would be from probably 12 to 1. We go just 45 minutes to 1 hour. So, why don't we take it out with a little bit of Nice Work If You Can Get It by Gershwin. Holding hands at midnight, 'neath the starry sky. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with that one boy, and then sighing those sighs. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking those vows. It's nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how? Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. Well, that sounded great.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny. As soon as you started singing that, and we're just actually looking at each other here, it reminded me of, this is the DVD I have, the last show, maybe, I think it was the last show that Johnny Carson did.
Oh.
Did you happen to see that show?
With Bette Midler?
Bette Midler.
Oh, wasn't that?
Where she sang this, I forget what the song was.
I'll Be Seeing You.
Yeah.
Which was a great Sinatra hit. And it happens to be one of my all-time favorites.
And she just sang it straight at him, and he's looking straight at her, and, you know, everybody's getting teary, and, you know.
I know.
Johnny
was a wonderful, wonderful performance.
Yeah. Well,
and
that
here's
was just
that
a wonderful
rainy day
show.
Is another
These
one of his
awful
great
people
ones.
That are on now,
Yeah, I know. And different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. Different. Let's just, I guess we could just say it's different.
We'll be nice. It
depends
different.
What you'll. I've already said awful, so I've already blown it.
Well,
for
but
the
you
nice
know,
part.
I was raised in the 50s as far as that's when I first started listening to Sinatra. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time my parents heard me hum something by Elvis Presley, the reaction was very similar to what you're saying. They said, What is that? I mean, that's just awful. They couldn't believe that was actually music. And look, the rest is history, right?
Well, that's just history, but it's interesting to hear recordings of him sort of before he got to be famous, where he actually, you know, sings in a style that I think most people will almost not even recognize.
And he had a beautiful voice, actually.
Yeah.
Very clear, right in pitch, pristine. Almost.
He could sing the blues?
Yes. Gospel.
Yeah.
Religious.
Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What is there that appeals, I mean, in a very few words about Sinatra's singing?
I'd say timeless, Kevin. Even now, if you go into some of the big stores in Chicago and you're shopping, you'll hear a Sinatra tape. And I think it appeals to most all ages. His pitch, his interpretation of a song, the way he communicates, which to me is critical. And when I say pitch, I don't mean that has to be perfect every time, because at times he wasn't. None of us are.
Mm-hmm.
As singers, it's impossible. But he was such a communicator. He just, there was no one like him. And, you know, there was a time when he was called Sunatra by the young girls way back in probably 1937, 38, because he was so able to communicate with people when he sang. So I would say timeless, tasty. He always did good songs, just like Tony Bennett. They don't compromise. They stick with the good composers, Rodgers and Hart, Gershwin, Cole Porter, Johnny Mercer, we can go on, Harold Arlen. Wonderful, wonderful music. So I think most of it is that. And there's only one Sinatra for me. He's just velvet voice.
Yeah.
Velvet voice.
Do you have another one for us?
Do I have an? Yeah. We could do, let's do Night and Day. That was his first hit, and that was 1938. Harry James was looking for a new male singer. And one of his horn players in the band heard him singing this on the radio. He said, "Boss, you got to hear this kid. He's wonderful." And the song was Night and Day. So we'll give it a whirl. Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I'll think of you night and day, day and night. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I'll think of you night and day, day and night. Under the hide of me, there's an oh, such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't ever be through till you let me say that I'll always be loving you night and day, day and night. Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. Dina Vermette singing Sinatra. The ladies sing Sinatra on Thursday at noon with pianist Woody Woodward at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute. It's on University Avenue, the main Carl Clinic campus in Urbana. Free program for about 45 minutes
right,
or so.
Right. Hope to see a lot of people there.
Yeah. It's a nice piano, nice resident space. Yeah. And next time, we'll get Woody in here because I'd love
here.
To hear you together.
We'll pay him a little more,
That
Kevin.
Would be just, yeah, we'll double the salary.
Yeah, there you go.
Double the fee. All right. Pleasure to hear you.
Likewise. It's good to be here.
On Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program today is made possible by the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. June 30th is the end of our fiscal year at WILL. It's just a few days away. Operating costs are increasing, as you must know. Government funding always uncertain. And we're about $213,000 away from our fundraising goal. What you hear on WILO Radio on the coming year depends on our reaching that goal. Your online gift is important and will help us get there. Go to willpledge.org, willpledge.org. I'll be back with another show tomorrow from 12 to 1. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF. Urbana and W293 AF Danville. We're the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.
Fasten your seatbelts. Come fly with me. We'll fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, we'll fly away.